1 Corinthians chapter 5. I wouldn't be up here this afternoon if I had not been encouraged by the conveners of the conference. I would gladly be sitting down, but I appreciate the fact that there's 12 minutes. I hope 12 minutes that will change your life. We've been listening to profitable ministry this afternoon and throughout the weekend. And all ministry is expected to bring change. I hope we go home changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ, the sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ, the savor, a sweet-smelling one. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Christ, the seed. I'm sure thankful we've heard lots about our Lord Jesus Christ this weekend. And I'm thankful that we can discuss for a few minutes the fact that he was our sacrifice. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Sometimes we can read statements and we get so familiar with them, and the truth of it doesn't sink into our hearts and grip us. Christ sacrificed for us. There shouldn't be a heart untouched this afternoon as we consider the fact that we were doomed and damned in our sins. But there's somebody who was sacrificed for us. Very often the problems that come into Christian lives and problems that come into the assembly life and testimony is when we as believers forget. We forget how to get along with brothers and sisters because we forget about where we came from. As we're hearing already, that the only right we've ever had was the lake of fire. And I want to just take us back to square one. We were doomed in our sins. Christ sacrificed for us. I was considering a little bit of how the truth of a sacrifice is painted very clearly for us throughout Scripture. You got what we might call pre-Jewish or pre-Israel experience when you got the sacrifice of the ram on the mount in the days of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. You've got, during Jewish history, the Passover lamb who was sacrificed, which was sacrificed. You've got the post-Jewish history of the Lord Jesus, who is our Passover. Sacrifice for us. And there will never be another one. If you were to consider those sacrifices, and we only have a minute or two to go over them, you'll notice that all the sacrifices are planned by God. God knew from the very start the direction we were headed. He knew that we were going to stray from Him and be disobedient, and the flesh within was going to rise up and go against Him. Thank God in His mercy. He planned for you. He planned for me. He planned a sacrifice. So that's why when you come to the ultimate sacrifice, that we have Him as the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. Planned by God. But not only was there a plan, there was the provision. That God met the need, He fulfilled His plan. And so you could consider the ram in Genesis chapter 22. Why do you think that ram was caught by its horns in the thicket? Provided by God. If God could direct a whale into the depths, into the various levels of the sea to pick up a man, God could direct a ram to be caught by its horns. If God could direct a raven to carry food, God can direct an animal He made to be caught at the very place it's going to be needed, in a way that was going to protect its purity, and in a way that is going to be provided for a man that was about to lose his life. God provided. I don't need to follow through these various sacrifices. But I'm thankful God provided the lamb for me. Just before leaving the sacrifice, though, I want to notice how that the sacrifice was for somebody. So again, we go back to Isaac. And there you've got Isaac, about to lose his life. His ears would have been open just as Abraham's ears would have been open. And he would have heard the call, "Abraham, Abraham, look behind you. Bring the lamb, bring the ram. Slay it in the place of Isaac." You can see Isaac standing beside the altar and appreciating this great truth. "He died for me." Maybe there's somebody here today and you're going through a series of doubts in your mind and in your life. And I could say in your Christian life. There are very few Christians that get to the end of the road and they don't have some doubt somewhere along the line. I want you to direct your mind to be directed to that ram that was slain in the place of Isaac. And as Isaac looked at it and said, "He died for me," let's come forward to the cross that we've been hearing about and see the ultimate Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover, sacrificed for us. And can you stand beside the cross, dear brother, dear sister, with all of your doubts, and take a fresh look again and say, "He died for me"? Let the assurance of it fill your heart. Never lose it. Christ, our sacrifice. Christ, the Savior. What a stench has risen to God through the centuries of time, through the centuries of human history. The stench of sin and of the flesh, whether it be that of the mind or of the body, of the actions, whatever. What a day it was when the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life. And while we might get occupied with the blood that trickled down, may we just catch this thought this afternoon of the Savior that ascended up. There's God up in heaven. There's somebody who gave his life according to the plan. He didn't hold back. God says to me, there's nothing more special. There's nothing better. And I can picture God just taking a deep breath, as it were, and letting it soak in the sweet, smelling savor of a sacrifice to Himself. Christ, the seed. Accept. A lot of times we like to put options. The unsaved like to put options in the book of John. They like to say, well, yeah, it's all right for you to say you need to be born again, but you know, that's not for me. I hope we understand that when the Lord Jesus said, accept, He was pointing out that there's no other way. He was making it clear. There is no option. Whether it's the truth of the new birth or the truth of the seed that needs to fall into the ground and die, there is no option, believer. If it doesn't fall into the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. But if it does fall into the ground and die, it's going to produce a lot of fruit. One seed, much fruit. For those of you who know me, I used to enjoy farming. We're living in the springtime. Farmers are putting the seed in the ground. A few seeds here and a few seeds there. Won't be many months, and the bins will be filled. The corn will be up to the eaves. The wheat will be to the top rings. The farmers will be seeing the fruit of their efforts. The seed that fell on the ground. Sometimes I ask myself the question, what will my granary be like when I get home to heaven? Will it be full to the eaves? Will there be souls won for Christ? Or will I just be one solitary seed that never knew what it was to say, not my will, but thine be done? I trust that this afternoon at this conference, there will be individuals, there will be couples, who in the silence of your heart at this point, you will ask God to help you be that seed to fall into the ground and die.